Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Okay, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 127. We're going to be looking at this psalm and going through it. Sometimes it's been called the family psalm. It's a great psalm. There's a lot of teaching and probably preaching through verse by verse. But I've kind of drawn our attention to it this morning because I want to talk a little bit about national security. Wow, what a topic. How about global security? And so the reason I want to talk about that today is that I want to draw our attention to how we can walk through life and be secure no matter what's happening around us, and that we have gotten away from being secure in Christ and trusting God and His holy word. And a lot is taking place. I've heard people say that that the globe and the world is just in chaos. I've heard people say that here lately because of all that's taking place. And so as believers, as Christians, as men and women of God, we need to be secure in who we are in Christ and who He is in us. And we need to make sure that we don't cloud up the message that needs to be for our nation, the message that needs to be for our state, the message that needs to be for our region, the message that needs to be applicable toward our family and toward us individually. And it's the same message, and it's the only message, and that is that all the answers are found in Jesus Christ, in the Lord. That's the answer. He is the answer. And until we get back to that, we won't have the answer. I just want to tell you that straight up. No matter what political pressures you feel or family pressures or things that are being said around you, the ultimate goal for all of us is to walk in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know the Word, to know that the Father is in absolute divine control. Matter of fact, it says He sits on the throne, meaning that He is in His sovereign position no matter what is taking place around us. And so we have to trust Him. Psalm 127, we're going to read through it first, and then we're going to back up a little bit, and hopefully I can share a few things from it, God willing. Psalm 127. When I begin to read this, the first two verses, you find the word vain three different times. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for He gives to His beloved even in his sleep. I'll talk about that in a second. Verse 3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows. Everybody loves this family verse, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man or woman whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Let's back up to that about children. They're like arrows. Back in that day, arrows was a symbol of power. It was also a symbol of security, of provision. So like arrows, these children are. Their arrows were for protection. They were acquiring food. And children, no matter what, are a huge blessing to you and to the body of Christ. They're a blessing. They enhance our lives if we allow it. They enrich our lives if we allow it. Children will enrich our lives if we allow it to be and allow ourselves to stay in the place of the Lord. I could preach right there and stay right there, but I'm going to jump back up to the beginning. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. This is the verse I want to focus on. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. And then, of course, it is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. The Lord, and that goes along to me with me, is Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added on to you. The Lord is our provider, and the Lord will provide. Yes, we are to work. Yes, we are to move in that area, no doubt. You know, if you don't work, you don't eat. But God is saying, trust me in it all. Even though the world is shaking around us and people are saying there's chaos everywhere, he wants us to trust him. Our national security for our nation is going to be found in him and nowhere else. So don't try to keep thinking that, oh, somebody is going to help us. I tell you who's going to help us. Jesus is going to help us. Our relationship with him is where our help lies. And now hopefully I'll make a good case by the time that this is over. Again, vain rings out three times in the first two verses. And what vain is emphasizing is the futility of man, that we think that we can live in our earthly ways and get by. And that's what it's saying. Oh, vanity, what are you doing? Why do you think that you can trust in yourself and everything else instead of trusting in the Lord first and foremost? So if we're going to see change within our region, within our city, within our family, it's going to be through those who trust in the Lord and pray and make sure that he's the Lord of our life. Jesus Christ has the answer. The Father has the answer. And Jesus Christ is the answer to the needs in every crisis in the world today. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand and guard in vain. What does that really mean? There's probably several meanings to it because the word goes on and on. But he's saying to us that we have to live in that place of blessed assurance, of knowing who we are in Christ. We have to know that we're praying not just for ourselves, but for this city. That if we don't cry out for this city and this region, then light is not going to increase. And I believe that in many cities and many regions, people are praying, and the people in that region have no desire whatsoever to follow the Lord. None whatsoever. They just said, no, no way. I'm not going to do it. I don't know if you know this, but there is an inscription in the dome at Washington, D.C., in the White House, in that dome, in the Capitol, in Washington, D.C., and very few people know about it. And it reads this way. You can put it up on the screen if you have it. One far-off divine event toward which the whole creation moves. One far-off divine event toward which the whole creation moves. A visitor was walking through the White House, and he saw it, and he asked the guide, he says, what does that mean? Who put that there? And the guide said, I believe that it means it's speaking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Really? In the White House. That's what was written. So someone, when the dome was constructed, some official or officials believed that this was truth. And that this truth, this is the key I want to say, this truth was vital to our nation. Write that truth down. One far-off divine event toward which the whole creation moves, the day of the Lord, was in perspective in the days that we began. The day of the Lord should be in perspective today, every day. That is our hope of glory. That he's coming. We need to be reminded. This was believed by our government. We need to be reminded today, every day, that our nation will be strong only if it's built on the foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. Abraham Lincoln wrote this, and he wrote this and delivered this in a national day of fasting and praying for our nation. The whole nation was called to fast and to pray. And this is what he wrote on that day. And this was his prayer. He said, it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God. To confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scripture and proven by all history, that the word is proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed where God, where Jesus Christ is the Lord, intoxicated with unbroken success. Listen to this. He says to the nation, intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity and too proud to pray to the God who made us. And that almost sounds like a similar statement that could be spoken even today. That was a proclamation by the president to lead our nation. It also said that the moral foundations needed to be in place and that we would trust in the Word of God. Now, I'm going to date myself here a little bit more. Abraham Lincoln didn't date me. I'd be really old if that did. But you guys have heard of Paul Harvey, some of you. Some of you are going, Paul who? Well, this guy was pretty amazing. He was a strong, almost a prophetic guy. And he did some radical things. And all I remember is my parents always listened to him, and I listened to him sometime, and then the whole, Paul Harvey, good day. I remember that. All right, it's over. Can you turn on some music, And this is what he said. He said, Paul Harvey, this is what he said. He said he did a radio address, and he thought it would be pretty interesting if he wrote down what he would do to our nation. Maybe some of you have heard this. What he would do to our nation if he was the devil. I'm sure that got people's attention. He said, first of all, if I was the devil, this is what I'd do to mess up our nation. I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people. I would promote an attitude to loving things and using people. And really, it should be the opposite, shouldn't it? To love people and use things. I would dupe entire states into relying on gambling for their state revenue. If I were the devil, I would convince people that character is not an issue when it comes to leadership. If I was the devil, I would make it legal to take the life of an unborn baby. I would take God out of the schools if I was the devil, so that even the mention of his name would be grounds for a lawsuit. This was a long time ago. If I was him, I would come up with drugs that sedate the mind and target the young as users. Paul Harvey said, if I was the devil, I would attack the family. I would attack the family, the backbone of any nation. I would make divorce acceptable and easy, even fashionable. If the family crumbles, so does the nation, he says. And the gavel in so many courtrooms has been going down and hitting and so many times and saying, you've received your divorce, it's over. If I was the devil, he said, I would persuade people that church, and here's a biggie, that church is irrelevant and out of date. And the Bible is for the naive. I think the psalmist is saying the same thing in Psalm 127. Why? What's the answer? The answer is found in Christ and only in him. We need to build on that and understand that. God's asking us, guys and gals, to come together in a way like we've never come together before. He's asking us to try to network in ways that we haven't even thought of before. I'm not saying that coming together in the body of Christ has been bad or good, and I'm not saying that there's greatness and goodness out of it, but I'm telling you, God is wanting to put some people together, including all of us, that we begin to network and rely upon each other more than we do. He really wants that to happen. I have to read something else from the scripture before I kind of close this up, and I'm going to have Denny come in a little bit and pray for you guys. And But I want to go to 2 Chronicles. I don't have that on the screen back there, guys, so don't be looking for it. 2 Chronicles 7:14 has been continually in my vision, seeing it everywhere, if my people. And as I was reading it this morning, I thought I'd just pray over it and read and just say, Lord, do you want me to share this? And this is God's promise, but this is also God's warning, his warning to us. And I'm saying this to bring hope to you, to encourage you, and to know that if you're seeking the Lord, you're on the right path. If your hope is found in him, that's a great place to be, and that you can depend upon him. You know, even being here on this Labor Day weekend, thank you so much for coming. Thank you. Because there's something that happens when we come together and we hear the word and we worship together. Something huge that sustains us in that. And sometimes just one little phrase or scripture can just mean so much to us. Yes, I got it. So we start in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 with verse 11. And it says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's palace and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in the palace. Verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I've heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Verse 13 is huge. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, verse 14, the bumper sticker verse, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open. Verse 15, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Go back to verse 13. It says, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and if my people who are called by my name. I want to make a notice of verse 13 before 14. There is a lot of shaking that's going to take place. There's a lot of things that are going to happen. And I believe that even in that verse, again, you can mine out so many truths out of that verse, that God's saying, you know, there's going to be some things that's going to take place, and even if I choose to do these things, and all of a sudden the whole world is shaking and things are happening all over the earth, if my people, which is you and I, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek the face and turn from their wicked ways, he'll bring healing to their land. And that's a promise, and that's a truth from God. And that's where I want to stand no matter what. I want to stand in the place of his promises and what he's saying. So if all this stuff starts happening, will you worship? Will you pray? Or will you run and think that you can get away from it? You have to really ask yourself these questions, not to increase any fear, but to increase faith in us, to say we will be faithful, we will trust him. And I believe God is trying to pull us together in a way like no other time, that we will be fit together to move in the things of God. Not saying, oh, what can I get out of this with this relationship or this relationship? No, because every one of us have something different to offer. Every one of us have gifts and things available to us. And God is wanting us. He's wanting us to coexist in him. He's wanting us truly to be the body of Christ. He's wanting to be the head of the body of Christ so that we can begin to function together, not from a distance, but from a reality of being a part of a body. Not just in our vocation and what we do, but with what we do, how can we begin to function as a body together? How can we begin to trust him in each other? And so when I read that scripture this morning, 13 really jumped out at me saying, you know what? There's some things coming. There's some things that are already here. that are shaking us. We've never thought that we would see such evil being promoted and people running to it. But the Word of God says it's going to happen and says it will happen. And we can be those people that trust in Him. We can trust in Him. So if we're going to have national security or family security or regional security, we're all going to have to fall in the place of trusting Jesus completely and absolutely in His Word and who He is. And that is the only way that we can have national security. Will it happen? I pray so, but I also don't want to just be somebody praying in vain when the writing's on the wall and things begin to happen. I want to make sure that I'm networking and I'm in relationship with God and that my opinions are pretty much crucified and I'm walking in the ways of the Word of God and it's lighting my life and my path so I can move in that place no matter what anybody else is doing. In the dome of Washington, D.C., something was etched in the stone. What does that mean? And it means this, every one of us, we are waiting for the glorious day of the return of our King and glory. We're going to live in the place of love, in the place of forgiveness, in the place of His presence. Hatred, racism, it's all scaling up and trying to divide God's people and divide nations. And we know that with Christ, we are all His children. There is not us and them. There isn't that at all in the Word of God. And we have to learn that, know that, walk in it, and believe it, and make sure it's a part of the fruit of our life. And if it's not, we need to be broken and get down on our face and repent and walk in the fullness of what God has. Let me read something to you. This is from a vision. It's called The Path, Fire on the Mountain by Rick Joyner. And this is just part of a vision that he received. And I just want to read this part of this vision that he received and what was going to happen with the body of Christ at the end of the age. Somebody stepped up in the vision and said, what is the best thing we can do to help each other? Another asked because they saw things happening. And in the vision, this is what he received. Just as we must be intentional about getting closer to the Lord and accomplishing our purpose in Him, we must be intentional about getting to know one another and seeing our purpose with one another. None of us is here by accident. None of you are here by accident. We are called to be built together into the temple of the Lord. This is what we were made for, and we can never be truly fulfilled until this is complete. That's biblical. The process can be hard, but it can also be one of the most interesting and exciting things in our life. The first thing that God said was not good about His creation was for man to be alone. Loneliness is not good for any human being. We should consider that God said this when man had daily fellowship with Him. Fellowship with God is essential for men and women and our most basic need. But God also obviously made men and women to need more than just fellowship with Him. His first provision for loneliness was family. After that, the greatest provision is our relationship to one another as members of His body. Let me read that last line again. His first provision for loneliness was family. After that, and see, this is where the importance needs to be put on this, that the greatest provision is our relationship to one another as members of His holy body. No matter what wilderness that we're going through or what our challenges are, we need each other. And this needs to grow. And don't live, well, I did this, I called so-and-so, da-da-da, and you get bitter and nobody, you know, and now you're running, you're forgetting it. No. We all make mistakes. You have grace given to you, give grace to each other. No one is perfect in this room. Can I get an amen? Oh, you guys are unified on that one. Boom. So if we're not unified, we're not perfect, excuse me. We're not perfect. We need to understand that we have great grace for one another. And it's a journey. And the journey is heating up. And we need each other. And there's provision in this room that can be provided. I can tell you this, from a leadership perspective, we are looking a lot at different things we can do to help provide for men and women in the area of food and water. I'm just telling you this because it's all going to come down to that eventually. And we're going to need to have supplies and be there for each other. We can always trust the Lord. We will. But there's also wisdom that's needed. Another thing, worship. Michael's warming up here so that we can enter into a place. Worship cannot be held back. It cannot be put aside. It cannot be something that we just do every once in a while. It's got to be who we are. Don't avoid the prayer room. It's not a bad thing. Don't avoid Sunday or Tuesday. It's not a bad thing. Try to get into the presence as much as you can, whether it be at home or in the midst of other brothers and sisters. It's so necessary. And make sure, as we grow in this, that we don't get real prideful that we've got it and no one else does, because we just need to be bold in our faith and respond in the place of humility. I want you to stand, and Michael, would you come forward? Denny, would you come up? Denny Rogers has, as far as my brother and my friend, he has really been encountering the Lord in the prayer room, and we've been praying for him, and he has struggled with so much. He's went through the wilderness, and the wilderness has brought him so much closer to Jesus. He's had a heart transplant. He has a new heart. He also now has been diagnosed, and they found cancer on his lung. They removed part of it, and now they're going to run him through chemo and all these different things for several weeks. And so I say all that to say this. When you go through things and you really want to hear the voice of the Lord, you hear it. And so I believe Denny just wants to share just a little bit, and we'll pray about his intimacy with God and what it means to him to know Jesus. And then he's going to pray over you. Remember, our security, our national security, our state security, regional security, family security is all in Christ, in him and in his word. There's nothing else. So don't try to find something else. If you trust him, he'll see you through.
I just want to share some things I've discovered by setting myself before the Lord. And I believe it's a mandate on everyone in this room. And I can't encourage you enough to start if you're not doing it daily. It has to be something daily. And it can be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever time you can give. Set it as an appointment with the creator of the universe, and make it the most important appointment that you'll ever have in your life, because it can make a matter between life and death for you and your family. Don't let anything interrupt that time. Nothing come in interference with it, because everything will try to stop you from doing it. But remember, it's an appointment with Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I don't like being late for appointments with Jesus. So I keep my appointment daily. But what I've found, what I've discovered by setting myself before him, is a love and a depth of Jesus that I never knew was humanly possible that we could find or obtain on this side of heaven. But it's available to each one of us. He loves each one of you with more love than you could ever obtain. For my heart, most of the time, feels like it's going to burst open. And in that place of love, all fear diminishes it. It disappears. There's no room for it. For the love strengthens you. And it brings you to a place that you're willing to what we sing songs about a lot of time, about surrendering, releasing all to Jesus. But if you think about that for a minute, what that means, first it means releasing all of your rights. To be right, your right to have, your right to do, your right to think. Then it goes on to start to say, then I have to release where I live, what I do for a living, my finances, my wife, my children, my grandchildren. And you come to a place of divine trust, a knowing, not just what we read in the Word, but it's alive in your heart, knowing that you can trust Him. For He is more than capable of providing all that you need. He is more than capable to strengthen you when you're weak. He's more than capable of healing you. Not always what you would think in the physical realm, but in the spirit, that you may walk through anything with a smile upon your face and have no fear. That is a love that I've discovered. Most of the time in setting, I read, I study, I write, but most of the time I'm in a place of exchanging affection with Jesus. I have come to a place that I probably have discovered about 100,000 ways to tell Jesus I love Him. But at the same time, He pours a love upon me that is more gracious, more glorious than anything I could ever imagine. For it's transformed the way I think, the way I feel, the way I see, even the way I smell and touch, but most of all, the way I love everyone around me. Everyone around me. For I believe you cannot truly love Jesus and understand His love without loving everyone around you, because they go hand in hand. Because you know, Jesus, the Father, created everything in love. We all are sustained in love. Jesus is the source of our life. The essence of Jesus is love. Don't miss it. Don't be so caught up in striving, doing things, even a lot of good things, stop us from our intimacy with Jesus. But there is nothing more important to our families, to this body, to this region, this nation, than our intimacy. If we do not have all trust, all faith in Jesus, we will not make it through the days that are probably going to come upon us all of our life in the near future. Take that time, set that appointment, set it for tomorrow, and keep it every day. You all have some time you can figure out to stop striving, stop doing. Don't go to Jesus with a prayer request longer than you honor. Go with Him for one purpose, for who He is. Set before Him for who He is, wanting to know Him. My heart cries out to know Jesus, as He knows me, and the Word tells me He knows every hair on my head. I want to know every hair on His head. I believe we'll be living a lifetime that we can receive the fullness of Jesus, as I didn't think we could until we were in eternity, but we can be the fullness of Jesus here on earth. I believe we have to be. He's pouring His love upon us to awaken the bride. We always think of the bride as a corporate bride. We're individual brides. We have to be a bride of Christ before we can be a body, the church of Christ. We have to know His love is nothing else. We have to be lovesick for Jesus and Jesus alone. Our eyes have to be focused upon Him. Our heart has to be bursting with the love of a bride for her bridegroom. We have to be so excited we can't quit talking about Him. We have to sing songs in our sleep. Have you ever awakened in the morning and just full of the love of Jesus and the excitement and the newness of Him each day? Try it tomorrow morning. It excites you to get up. It excites your heart. Let Him transform you with the power of His love. For He's wanting to desperately. For He's calling His bride, and that's you and you and you and you. And if you have a trouble as a man being a bride, I had a vision one time the Lord showed me dressed in a white tux. You know what he showed me is? It's how our journey is. From the time we become saved, we are betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ as his bride. And a white, beautiful horse-drawn carriage come pick me up. And I said, beautiful white tux I got in the carriage. I traveled down the road a little bit, and I said, stop. And I got out, and there was a mud puddle there. And I went over and walked through the mud puddle, jumped up and down in it. And I heard the Lord call me again. I went back, got stepped in that carriage, and I was pure white again, my tux. And I went down the road again, and it happened again. And I got, this time I just waded through the mud puddle a little more. I got back in again. I was pure white. I went a little farther, and I got out again. But what happened was, is the farther I went on that journey, the farther the mud puddles came. And pretty soon it was no more. And I was ready for my wedding day and my glorious bride, groom, king. That's what our journey's about. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, who is throned in heaven, let the Father, but pales of lightning, thunder of colors we can't imagine, and smoke from the bowls of incense, and a fragrance that transforms the color of all things. We come before you with a heart that cries out for you, to know you, Jesus, as our bridegroom king, as our Lord, our Savior, and our friend, one that we walk with as Enoch did and talk in the early morning hours, one that lays our head upon your breast as John the Beloved did. For that is our heart, to know you as no other, to know your voice in the noises of all days, to sense your presence with every breath that we breathe, to feel your embrace. And as we awaken in the morning and as we drift off to sleep at night. So, Lord, I ask that you would fill each one of us with a passion for you and you alone, a heart that burns for you and for your love and for each other. Lord, we just give you all praise, all honor, and all glory is due your name. And, Lord, I just release your love in this place for your glory. Your precious name, Jesus.